This is special coverage from NPR as the Great American Eclipse begins to make its way across the country. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Robin Young. By the clock, 'tis day, and yet dark night strangles the traveling lamp. Shakespeare's Macbeth. The Gospel of Luke describes lights going out after the death of Christ. For the next hour and a half or so, people across the United States will be looking at what people have seen for hundreds and thousands of years. With the proper eyewear, we should say, the dance the moon is doing with the sun. We're going to be tracking the total solar eclipse, the first to pass over so much of the United States in almost 100 years. We'll be doing it as it happens in places where the total eclipse reaches totality, total darkness, starting in Salem, Oregon, in just a few minutes. We're so excited. So let's bring in NPR science correspondent Joe Palca. Joe, first of all, tell us, how are we doing with cloud cover? What's the anticipation here?
Well, the last I checked, it was going to be almost perfect day going from Oregon all the way through Idaho and into Wyoming. And I think we're only about 3 minutes away from the first sight along the Oregon coast.
It's incredible.
The first full eclipse, the total eclipse.
And remind us what's happening here. The Earth, the moon, the sun lined up perfectly. You were telling us earlier in the day.
You know,
the moon's so much smaller than the sun, but it works because?
Because it just happens to be much closer, and you can
Earth,
blot out the sun with a quarter if you want by holding it just at the right spot. But the moon does a better job, to be honest, and it's safer to do it with the moon. But the moon is basically passing between us and the sun, and anything that does that, you know, is going to cast a shadow, and that's what it's doing. Actually, it started out in the Pacific Ocean about 20 minutes ago or so, and it's been marching steadily across the ocean. It's about to hit land. There's a 70-mile-wide swath of totality that's going to curve down through America and exit around South Carolina. But the entire country is going to see what's called a partial eclipse, which means the moon's shadow will partly cover the sun. And that's where the eyewear question comes in that you started to talk about. Because totality is great. Totality, the light from the sun is completely obscured by the moon. You are safe to look at the sun. That's the only time it's safe to look directly at the sun or in the direction of the sun. Otherwise, you must use special glasses, which, believe me, cut out so much light that you can see nothing but the sun if you put them on.
Well, Meghna has hers on the table, and I have a box. But I just want to say, I know Meghna wants to jump in there. I just want to say, you can also turn your back to the sun and face a wall and hold up like a spaghetti strainer, a colander. And it'll go through that onto the wall.
Yep. I've done that. Or I didn't do it with the spaghetti strainer. I did it with the pinhole. You can do it with just a pinhole and a piece of cardboard. And I felt, and this is maybe just me, but I was disappointed. I mean, it's like watching a cutout of something that you know is happening behind you.
Oh, don't say that to all of us who don't have the glasses.
I don't mean to be a buzzkill, but, you know,
you always have any number of the telescopes that are streaming video online now.
Well, those are pretty amazing. Yeah, I've been watching as a greater and greater piece of the sun is being blocked from a telescope out on the West Coast.
We're about, 6 minutes away from totality as it begins in Oregon, about seven?
Yes, I'm sorry. You were right. It was 1:16. I had the clock wrong, but
so
it's just almost 1:16. So it's, about 6 minutes,
so
five
exciting.
Minutes and change.
Joe Palca, NPR science correspondent, who is, you know, this is, you know, his day. but all of us can get on it. Joe, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Well, we've got a resident astronomer, that's what we're going to call her here, in the studio with us for a bit, Laura Kreidberg. She is a junior fellow in the astronomy department at Harvard University. Good to have you on this day, Laura. Thank you so much.
Great to be here.
Okay, so what's the thing that excites you most about this eclipse this year?
Oh, man. I mean, I feel in some ways that I'm in the same boat as everybody else. It just makes it so real that, you know, the sun and the moon are out there. We get blasé about it when we see them by themselves, but all of a sudden when they're aligned, it's amazing. It reminds you of the sort of the vastness of how big space is.
So we've been studying the sun through various instruments, telescopes, satellites for a long time. What is it specifically about an eclipse that we can learn that we aren't able to learn in other ways?
Yeah, an eclipse is a really special thing because, as we just heard, the moon is blocking out almost all of the light from the sun. And what we can see is the very outer edge, the solar corona. It's the upper atmosphere. It's sort of a wispy, thin, very hot layer of plasma. And there's a lot of action happening up there. We often think of the sun as kind of a static thing that just rises in the morning every day, and it's always the same. But in reality, it's this dynamic thing. It's changing quickly. There's tangled magnetic fields and periodic explosions. And a lot of that is happening right in those upper reaches, and we can see that directly during the eclipse.
Is that the Bailey's beads?
That's a different thing. That's something that we can see from the ground that's super cool. So as totality approaches,
which is in about 2 minutes, by the way, in Oregon. Oh, go ahead.
folks, I'm super excited for everybody who gets a chance to see this. So as totality approaches, you see a little crescent of the sun that's still visible. And at the very, very end, the topography of the moon actually blocks out a sort of uneven part of the sun. And so you get a phenomenon called Bailey's beads.
Well, and they're these things pulsing out. By the way, you can go to KQED, which is live streaming. NASA was, but it just kind of collapsed.
I can't get the NASA stream to load. So many people, lots of viewers, probably.
We're at that place right now. So what we want to do, Laura, you sit right there. Laura Kreidberg, again, junior fellow in the astronomy department at Harvard. You're going to be our buddy for a few more minutes. But we want to go to where people are awaiting this event. Let's bring in Chris Lehman on the line from Willamette University in Salem, Oregon, a reporter with the Northwest News Network. Chris, what are you seeing?
Well, looking up through my eclipse glasses, I'm seeing a very thin crescent of the sun right now, and people around me are really, really excited. I mean, there are cheers going up, and it's just an amazing atmosphere right now.
Is it getting darker there, Chris?
You know, it's funny. It's still...
Well, I guess you've got those dark glasses on.
Well, but as I kind of lift them up a bit and look away from the sun, it's still... On the one hand, it's broad daylight, but on the other hand, if you let your eyes adjust, you know, again, looking away from the sun, it's definitely dimmer. And it's also cooler. It's noticeably cooler than it was. When I came out here this morning, I was in broad daylight, bright sunshine, and I was sweating. But now it's definitely chilly.
Oh, isn't that something? I mean, this is what they predict, and yet we're still astonished, you know, that
exactly.
this is going to happen because the sun's not there. Now, we understand, too, that these events, yes, you're looking for the totality, which is about 2 minutes there. And I understand it's maybe 30 seconds less than the middle of the country because Oregon is further out on the arc. We'll ask our scientists about that in a second. But are you seeing anything else? Like they say crickets might start to chirp. Has anything like that happened?
Well, there are hundreds of people around me. I doubt I'd be able to hear chirp. Yeah, exactly. The one thing I did see on a sidewalk here are those crescent moon or crescent shadows that sort of look like a crescent moon, but formed by the sun coming through leaves of a tree. That was really cool to see that. So I'd heard that predicted as something that I would see. But yeah, it's just an unusual ambiance right now.
Well, I know you're there. Oh, we're watching online, too, and you still have a sliver there. But what just happened?
Well, there's a PA system, and so periodically somebody makes an announcement like 2 minutes to totality or something like that.
Well,
yeah.
I know you're there with the president of Willamette University, Steve Thorsett, also an astrophysicist. How handy. Can you put him on?
Sure. Yeah. Let me see if I can. He's standing right next to me as he's coming over. He has his family here today as well.
Oh, we don't want to interrupt if he wanted to be
No, that's
torn
all right.
He's
here.
Hi, this is Steve Thorsett.
Well, Steve, how excited are you?
Oh, this is thrilling. It's getting dark here, and the crowd is getting really ready for this totality in just about a minute and a half, I think.
Minute and a half. What do you see in the sky? What are you seeing?
Oh, there's just a tiny little sliver of sun left this point.
It looks to us like the sky is black.
Oh, it's not quite dark yet, but it certainly feels like twilight.
And
it's a sort of eerie twilight.
Yeah, yeah. And as an astrophysicist, like what questions do you have about this? What are you hoping to see when the corona comes up?
Oh, I think I'm just ready to share an awe-inspiring experience with the whole crowd here.
Okay. Pass us back to your buddy Chris there.
Okay.
And we'll be back to you, Chris Lehman.
And hey, we're
at Willamette University in Salem, Oregon. As it looks like, now we can see pictures now where the sky is getting dark. There's a tiny sliver, but there's still light on the people looking up.
That's right. It's still light. I mean, it's definitely darker. But I think if I was driving around at the moment, I don't know that I'd even have my headlights on right now. It's just not dark enough. But yet, it will be dark in a minute or so. It's very odd.
Okay, so we are seeing, we're seeing in Madras, Oregon.
Yeah.
Looks like they have the corona. And you have the corona? What are you seeing, Chris?
Well, there's still a tiny little crescent, but the crescent itself is disappearing right now. There's just a little bit left there, but, so it's still light. Still light outside, yeah. But it's going to disappear.
Salem, of course, being a little bit inland from the Oregon coast,
yeah,
so
right.
A couple of minutes behind
As
the coast.
As you know, you Oregon girl, you.
I'm native Oregonian. This is really exciting.
Right. Yeah, it's supposed to happen at 10/17/21. It is now 1/16/52, so you're about 20 seconds away, Chris.
Yeah, the crowd is really, everybody is standing up. I think I'm going to stand up here, too, and keep talking to you. I have my camera in my hand here to try to take a picture of it.
Oh, I can hear.
While I'm talking to you. Oh, yeah, it's just about disappearing. There's just a tiny little bit left, a tiny little bit. And, oh, boy, it's getting dark here. There it is. Wow, you can hear the crowd.
Chris, hold it out. Let us hear.
Oh, it's so cool. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Wow, people are dancing around. Hundreds of cell phone cameras pointed up there, but I have to say my iPhone is not really doing a very good job of capturing it, so I'm just going to look.
Just let us listen. Oh, my God.
Oh, this sounds amazing.
You are listening to NPR's special coverage of the first totality that we're hearing. It's Willamette University in Salem, Oregon. Complete totality, darkness in the sky. Chris, can you see... Awesome, we're here. Can you see... planets. I think I see some stars.
Yep, I see some stars around the edges of the sky here. There are street lights that came on out on the street. They're not right next to us, but you can see them. Lights in buildings are turning on right now that are on probably automatic sensors. It's really amazing. It's really amazing.
You know, we hear from, people who have seen this. Helen McDonald, the wonderful author of H is for Hawk, said she dropped to her knees. It's exciting, but are you feeling something more?
Wow. It's a community experience. We're sharing it. We'll be sharing it with people across the country, but right here in this moment, just put aside everything that's happened, in your lives and just enjoy the moment right now. It is kind of a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
Can we hear your president there, Willamette, University President Steve Thorsett again, the astrophysicist who's there with
sure.
his family.
Let me, he's right here, and he's got to put his headphones back on. Here comes the sun again.
Here comes the sun, yeah.
We're going to put on our glasses again.
Where are the Beatles when we need them?
Okay, Steve is on with you
now. The diamond ring moment, right?
Oh, it really was a beautiful moment.
And we know you saw the last total solar eclipse in February 1979.
I did, and it was cloudy here. It's a completely different experience with a clear sky.
Well, you're also a middle school student. I'm wondering, as an adult, as someone who, feels the pains of being a human, what are you thinking when you see it?
Oh, it's just amazing to think about how for thousands of years people have seen exactly the same thing and felt exactly the same way.
Now, are you seeing that diamond ring effect that they say when the moon just starts moving away from the sun?
Yep, it came and went very quickly, and now it's already getting bright again very fast.
Wow. And we have our science buddy with us here as well. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening here scientifically. Let's bring back in
Laura Kreidberg.
Now, stay right there. Stay right there in Oregon. But Laura Kreidberg, what is happening right now as the totality is passing?
Yeah, so we're seeing just the crescent of the sun coming back around the edge. And as we just heard, we got the diamond ring effect. So there's a really bright spot where you see the sun coming out and then the wispy, faint white corona around the edge. It's amazing how quickly it passes by.
Now, Chris was saying that he could see stars there for a minute at totality. Can you also see some planets as well?
Yeah, you can see four planets. I think they are Venus, Jupiter, Mercury, and Mars.
Wow.
Yeah. Chris Lehman there in Willamette University in Salem, Oregon. Thank you so much for giving us this vicarious thrill, which is really what it is. Meghna, Indian tribes, Native Americans, mm-hmm. Many of them, Mayans as well, I think, would pound drums and stuff when it happened to get the sun to come back, and they thought they made it come back. But that was the plan. Chris Lehman, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Okay. He's with the Northwest News Network. What's next? Mackey, Idaho, I think.
Yep.
They're having it in about totality about 11:30 local time there. So that's about 9 minutes away. We're going to head there in a second. We're going to head there now. Let's go there now. Danielle Venton is in Mackey, Idaho at the Lost River Field Station. That's a research site for Idaho State University. Danielle from KQED, I bet the excitement there is mounting, especially since they're researching this.
It is. For some of these researchers, this is a two-minute opportunity that they get once every year and a half to see the total solar corona and to see the sun's atmosphere in its full resplendent glory. They're just minutes away from sort of action time, taking off the solar shields on their telescopes and timing everything down perfectly. This is my first solar eclipse, and I'm sort of beside myself with how eerie everything
is. Well, hang on, Danielle, because we need you. We understand you're camping there. People are camping?
Yeah. People have come from all over the world. I spoke with people from the Czech Republic, from China, from Hawaii, from the UK. Some are staying in trailers. Some are staying in cabins. A bunch of us are staying in tents. And it sort of feels like Burning Man for scientists right now.
And what kind of, I mean, we hear about the excitement, but what have you heard might happen?
So, you know, right now it's noticeably darker. I can see that the moon is sliding over the disk of the sun. We'll be expecting to see Bailey's beads and the diamond ring effect pretty soon. Mm-hmm. There are some sunspots we were looking at earlier, and so that could indicate an active corona, and we might be able to see solar storms and eruptions from the surface of the sun.
Well, KQED's Danielle Venton there in Mackey, Idaho, a town that is like got 500 people normally, elevation 6,000 feet,
yeah,
the top of Idaho in the Sawtooth National Forest there. And KQED, by the way, has terrific streaming online as well. Danielle, thank you, because we got to move on.
Because thank you. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Have a blast.
The totality moves fast.
I know. We're going to Garden Valley, Idaho, because totality there is in, just
about
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
I think Jim Paluzzi there, general manager at KJZZ, our member station in Phoenix, Arizona, up in Garden Valley with some public radio listeners. What are you seeing?
We're seeing a very small sliver of sun. It has gotten remarkably colder here. Everybody is deciding whether or not they're going to get quiet. Shout. We have an astronomer with us giving us a play-by-play description of what's going on, but the sun is just about ready to evaporate.
Oh, man.
As we heard in Oregon, they may not be able to help themselves. The shouting may just happen.
Well, and I mean, we hear about people just falling to their knees. We know you drove in on school buses from Bogus Basin, Idaho, where you're staying. And by the way, how is the traffic? Because they're talking about gridlock across the country.
This is the biggest surprise. There is no traffic coming in the central part of Idaho where we're at. We had planned on 6 hours to get here. We got here in 2 hours flat.
Okay. Wow. You're at the football field there at Garden Valley High, if I got that right?
Yeah, football field, Garden Valley High, junior high, elementary. There are only 240 students in the entire K-12. About 250 people out here in the football field. They've taken it over just to look at the sun.
Well, the town's only 394. Okay, you're a minute away. What are you seeing?
It looks like dusk, but an eerie dusk, and they say they're about a minute away from here. The temperature drop is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, it was just about 15 minutes ago, people were sweating, and now they're going through their sweaters. It's rather remarkable.
I can't wait to hear, you know, we hear about, you know, when animals do, we may not be able to hear that kind of thing because what humans do may be, you know, the biggest thing 30 seconds away. Are there a lot of kids there, by the way?
As you heard
excitement.
It, they're getting excited and they're shouting. Hey, listen, we've got a beagle next to me here, so we'll be able to see up close and personal empirically what a beagle does.
Okay, take notes. You're right.
We'll take any and all data.
You're like 15 seconds away, or no, less, 10 seconds away from totality there in Garden Valley, Idaho.
Yeah.
Hold your phone out.
I'm looking at the sun right now. It's about ready to disappear. I mean, it is so faint. It looks like everybody's gone quiet here.
Okay, you're up. Now, okay, 10, 12, you're supposed to be 11:26:48,
yeah,
so 30 seconds. And, boy, our universe, like clockwork, it turns out. And so it will happen exactly then.
Or if only our clocks were as accurate as the sun and moon.
This is interesting. It's quiet there, Magna, as opposed to what we just heard.
20 seconds.
20 seconds, yep. Yep. Are people still quiet?
Oh, it is getting so, so dark. The mountains in the background are just becoming to come out in front of us. And now they're clapping.
Are you in totality? Are you in totality?
We are in totality now. Oh, my God. It's incredible. It is incredible. I mean, I don't think
Describe.
Anyone could possibly do this and not want to do this again and again. Oh. I've never seen anything like it.
Describe it. What are you seeing? How are you feeling?
Well, you see a corona all around, a black center, and it radiates in all directions, and it is really, truly spectacular in the sense that there's nothing in the sky that you've ever seen quite like this before.
Listen to you.
Laura Kreidberg, I mean, people use poetic language, as you just heard describing, but you're a scientist. What's your reaction hearing how people are reacting to totality?
It's kind of emotional just here in the studio listening and watching.
Let's hear Jim. Jim, what were you saying?
They're right now, everybody is just, you know, it's a sea of cameras.
Yeah,
a sea of cameras.
The nation wants to know what the Beagle is doing.
I'm right next to the Beagle now, and he's not even wagging his tail.
He's done.
Totally looking left and right now. I know this is probably, you know, pet science 101, but
it's
not moving a thing.
It sounds like, you know, we're going to be hearing from across the country, people seeing the totality for the first time as this total eclipse takes about 90 minutes to travel the swath of the country. And by the way, there's partial eclipses above and below. But here's Helen McDonald, the writer, on when she saw her eclipse. I stared up at the hole in the sky and then at the figures around me and became gripped by the conviction that my life was over, that I was in the underworld. Is it
so down to 10 seconds here. And, you know, it's amazing.
Is the sun coming out?
Yes, it is. There is another sun. It's coming back right now. And it's
now, is that cool or not?
Yes, it is. Jim Paluzzi, general manager at KJZZ, our member station in Phoenix, Arizona, in Garden Valley, Idaho, with a group of public radio listeners. They drove in on school buses from Bogus Basin, Idaho, and they're at the Garden Valley High School, and they are in awe. Jim, thank you so much.
A pleasure. A pleasure.
Yeah. Boy, Magna, my heart's pounding.
Yeah, you know, awe is exactly the right word. That silence that we heard just as totality was arriving, that's even just hearing the silence filled me with awe. I can only imagine what it looked like there in Idaho.
Let's go back to Laura Kreidberg here in the studio with us, a junior fellow in the astronomy department at Harvard University, our resident astronomer in the studio. You're not surprised.
I kind of am, actually. I've never experienced a solar eclipse, and so this is kind of new for me, too. And it's, even though I know exactly, you know, physically what's happening, it's still, I'm just as amazed as everybody else.
And by the way, we've been talking about, you know, you have to have the special glasses if you're going to look at it, except during totality, which is timed, and they know how long it's going to be. You can take the glasses off. You can look through a box with a pinhole. You can hold up a colander, and the event will go through the holes in the colander, project on a wall. You can stand under a tree, and the leaves of the tree will do the same thing. What's the science there? It's just filtering the light?
Yeah, it's exactly like a pinhole camera. So anytime you have sunlight that's filtering through a small aperture, you get a projection onto the ground. And so you can use a piece of paper with a little hole cut out, or even like a Ritz cracker, or just look at the light that's dappling through the leaves in a tree, and you can see a projection of the eclipse on the ground.
A Ritz cracker?
You can. Yep.
Go get them, Magna. We were testing all of these.
And then you can snack on it afterwards. It's great.
You know, I was quoting from Helen McDonald. She just wrote an exquisite, she's become one of those people that chases. Because as we just heard from Jim Paluzzi, once you see one, you want to see more.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
does something. And she talked about in the first few seconds feeling as if she was in the underworld among all the dead.
Yeah.
I want to bring in Bruce Feiler. He's our old friend, New York Times columnist, bestselling author of books like The First Love Story, Adam, Eve, and Us, Walking the Bible, so many others. He always helps us put things in spiritual perspective. We have the scientific here in the studio with us, but let's bring in Bruce. Bruce, you're there off the Tybee Island, off the coast of Georgia?
I'm on Tybee Island off the coast of Georgia, where we still, it's just, you know, you can sort of feel it coming, but we don't get our share of totality for about another hour.
Oh, no, you're ways away. But you're hearing people talk about this awe and this, I mean, in just hearing them and seeing it, you know, streaming, your heart just fills. What's going on here?
You know what, listening to your coverage in the last half an hour and reading and hearing all the conversations about it, you know, over the last few days especially, what strikes me is that it's almost that whatever prism through which you look at the world is the prism through which you're looking at this, right? So if you're an astronomer, you're seeing an astronomical event, right? As the father of daughters who care about math, I see it sort of as this giant math problem. People who are spiritual see it as a spiritual event. People who are naturalists, you've been quoting Helen MacDonald, see it as a natural event. And I think that when you read the history of how people have talked about this, let's just remember here that people have been aware of eclipses as a natural phenomenon, right? Going back to Babylonians, right? That's 3,500, 4,000 years ago. People have known these were coming on a regular basis. The Babylonians, let's remember, they thought the world was flat. They didn't understand so much about astronomy, but they understood that these were regular phenomena.
And it's thanks to them that they took some notes that's led to the data collection that, you know, we have today, which we know exactly where they're coming, and they're quite frequent, but it's so rare that they're over a huge swath of a country like this. And you were mentioning the, you know, Helen MacDonald and the other people who are seeing this through a spiritual prism. It wasn't always, you know, there's also been sort of a dark side, you'll forgive me, to the eclipses. You mentioned the Babylonians. They knew it was coming. The king or the leader knew it was coming. So, you know, they'd sometimes put other people on the throne and kill them or something. I mean, it could be.
They would take the gardener, basically, the king. I mean, it was thought of as an omen. Okay, let's remember, this is how they looked at the world, right? These natural phenomenon had political impact, and so they saw it as a bad omen for the king. So they would lock the king away and sort of take one of the king's servants and, you know, put him on the front line to sort of get the brunt of it. And even in the Bible, actually, you know, in the book of Genesis, in the first chapter of Genesis, it talks about the heavens giving signs. So, you know, for a long time, this was viewed as an eclipse. They didn't use the language of eclipse. It doesn't actually appear anywhere in the Hebrew Bible or the New Testament. But darkness, signs, just remember when Joshua conquers the promised land, God, you know, stops the sun and the moon in order to allow this to complete before the end of a day. So the idea that the heavens were sending symbols and signals has been around for as long as people have looked up into the sky.
Bruce, this is Meghna here. If I could just gently disagree with you on something.
I feel like
a celestial event like an eclipse, like totality, can actually, people can bring multiple lenses, speaking metaphorically, to it, right? Because on the one hand, perhaps those who are spiritually inclined can also take a moment to appreciate science that allows us to calculate the moment of the totality down to the tenth of a second. And then scientists, just in the course of this half hour that we've been on the air, we've heard people fall silent because they are struck by the spirituality of the moment, even as they're astrophysicists.
Well, I think that's right. And in no way, when I say people look at the world, I agree entirely that people look at the world through multiple lenses. I just tweeted out on my Twitter feed that you guys passed around this image of St. Benedict, from the 18th century. And it's a beautiful work of art with a Benedict contemplating the entire universe. It's thought to be the first depiction of a total eclipse in Western art. And there it is together, art and science standing side by side. Because I think that what happens in these moments that are out of the ordinary is that we all rely on all of our ways of understanding the world. And they, as you said, I think beautifully, they live side by side. They may seem contradictory, but in a moment like this, where we're sort of contemplating our place in the universe, we need all the tools we've got because actually none of them does it by itself.
Yeah. So I almost thought I heard in that exchange, Bruce, our Meghna Chakrabarty, much like the moon and the sun, casting some shade on your, explanation. Bruce Feiler, thank you so much. We may check with you later after you've seen this awesome event. New York Times columnist and the man who helps us with the spiritual perspective. Thanks, Bruce.
Great great talking to you. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy.
Oh, yes. And now we want to bring in Leah Cook in Campbell Hill, Illinois. She's a third grade teacher at Trico Elementary School, about 30 miles northwest of Carbondale. Leah, first of all, where are we in your totality?
There. We just got the first contact at about 11:50, so we've already had the kids out, and you can definitely see part of the sun starting to be covered. It looks like a big cookie bite out of it.
Oh, what are they saying?
They're super excited. They, oh my goodness, everyone's really exciting and having a great time so far.
Anybody scared?
Not yet. Everybody's doing okay so far, but we've kind of talked to them about it's okay, you know, if it's a little emotional experience, because it will be such a very cool event.
Yeah. No classes today, but are people concerned about traffic and safety? I've wondered about this as areas go dark for 2 minutes in the path of totality. What happens? I mean...
Yeah, we actually are in school today. We have classes today. So we are going to be at school when it happens. And then when the buses load, it'll be over. So the safety won't be an issue.
Okay.
But we're definitely in school today.
I know you have a fifth grade student there with you. Do you have Quentin McBride?
Let
me talk to Quentin.
Okay. Hello.
Hi, Quentin. What are you thinking? What are you excited about?
I'm very excited about finally getting to that totality and being able to look around and notice that it's dark at the middle of the day.
I know everybody's been talking about it for so long. Let's just have it, right? What do you see right now?
What?
What do you see right now? Can you see the moon biting the sun?
Yes, a little bit.
Just a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel to see that? That you don't see every day.
It makes me feel like very, very, it makes me feel like very special because, like, not very many people get to see this.
Yeah, no kidding. We can't. you're in totality. Does it make you feel small or does it make your heart swell up a little?
It just makes me kind of feel small because it's like, you realize that everything is so big.
Well, we wish you the most wonderful day. Thank you so much, Quentin. Have fun with your class. We're going to take a quick break. We also want to thank Laura Kreidenberg of Harvard University for being our home resident astronomer. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Robin Young.
And this is special coverage from NPR of the total solar eclipse, which is now making its way across the United States. The path of totality is in Wyoming right now. In just a couple of minutes, the town of Casper will be in complete darkness. Totality reached the United States earlier this hour in Newport, Oregon.
And it was awesome.
We heard from Salem, Oregon, and people cheering there. It'll come to an end in Charleston, South Carolina at about 1:45 p.m. Eastern time. And so we've got a guide for the next 20 minutes or so with us. It's Leslie McClurg from the Science Desk at KQED in San Francisco. Hi, Leslie.
Hello.
It's been pretty exciting so far. I mean, what have you heard about how people are reacting to totality?
Well, to start before we even go to totality, just outside the doors, you know, here at KQED, there are people lined up on the streets. We had our 75% partial total eclipse at about 10:15 our time. And it was pretty incredible. I think everyone thought, you know, we're missing it. It's not going to be that interesting. It was spectacular. The world got kind of dark, kind of like they were saying the big bite out of the cookie that you heard from your last guest. This little sliver, it's almost like the moon swapped with the sun and you were seeing the sun as this crescent. And it was awe-inspiring. I can honestly say that people were kind of jaw-dropping, struck.
Yeah. That is
and
the that word that keeps
the
coming up. Yeah. Awe is the word that keeps coming up.
Yeah, that's Leslie McClurg going to be our buddy for the next several minutes as we watch this total eclipse cross the country. And it is apparently about to happen in Wind River, the Wind River Indian Reservation in Riverton, Wyoming. We've got Melody Edwards there. So, Leslie, you hold on. We're going to bring in Melody Edwards from Wyoming Public Radio. She's at the Wind River Casino and Hotel. Outside, I assume. Melody, what are you seeing?
Oh, my gosh. We are seeing some amazing stuff here. Totality has happened, and we are having birds are flying. We have a nighthawk swooping over us here. We're on the lawn right outside of the Wind River Hotel and Casino owned by the Northern Arapaho Tribe. It's amazing.
We know the tribe's been preparing for years, and they wanted a lot of people. It sounds like they got it. And we've heard, you know, that birds start singing. Mm-hmm. They do their nighttime songs and start flying. But what other responses are there that might be uniquely Native American?
Well, the tribe here has been, we've been hearing lots of dancing and singing today. They have been having days and days of storytelling. Apparently, we're also going to, a little later, have some folks who are going to be, they traditionally have shot arrows at eclipses. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It doesn't kind of seem like it at this exact moment, but it does seem like they're just, you know, bringing out the party. We've got hundreds of people here who are Native American and people from all over the country. I talked to somebody even from Florida who came all the way here to see this eclipse.
Melody, how did you feel when Totality arrived?
Oh my gosh, it was just a shock. I couldn't even believe how dark it got, how cold it got. Stars came out. We had a sunset around us in every direction. It was just a beautiful sight and really cool to be surrounded by people just hooping and hollering.
How fascinating. And we'll find out what that sunset was from Laura in just a second. But, you know, talking of the Native Americans, we know the Navajo traditionally have gone inside and don't want to, you know, look at it. You talked about the Arapaho shooting arrows at it, thinking that they could get the sun to come back and probably thinking that they did, you know, because it came back.
Yes.
Are you seeing the sun come back now?
Yes, the sun is starting to reappear. People are back to putting on glasses, and it seems that the moments of totality have passed, and people are you know, I mean, and this tribe has traditionally considered the eclipse to be kind of an ominous foreboding sign, maybe of future sickness. And so, you know, that is the traditional kind of to retreat, to go into a teepee and to maybe burn some cedar or something like that. But it seems that, yeah, you know, everybody is sort of embracing it today.
Now, Melody, I understand that the tribe invited a storyteller to talk about the eclipse. And that storyteller said how the last total eclipse happened in 1878 when the tribe had been placed on the reservation. And that was, you know, obviously an ominous,
yes,
and terrible, yes, moment in their history.
That's right. And so that, you know, that they kind of were, that they took that sign in 1878 to mean that, you know, their lives were going to change forever, and it was time for them to embrace that and to embrace this new world that they were going into. Mm. And they're sort of feeling the same way about this one, that this is a sign of a new future, and they're curious to see what's going to come next.
And Melanie, if you could just, I mean, I don't know if we can hear, but just to give us a few seconds of what people are doing and saying there. Are they still reacting?
You know, they're starting to mill about. They're taking looks at their pictures that they took to see if they're any good. You know, they're kind of all sort of looking to each other to say, what did you experience? What did you think about that? And kind of sharing their experiences.
We can hear. Melody Edwards with Wyoming Public Radio at the Wind River Casino and Hotel in Riverton, Wyoming, where the Northern Arapaho Tribe has been preparing for this for years. Melody, thank you.
Thank you.
And I just want to go back to Leslie McClurg from the science desk at KQED in San Francisco. Leslie, she talked about suddenly there were sunsets all around them. What was that?
That's what happens when the moon sort of moves across and you get this sort of silvery light from the corona. It's kind of this halo. And you can, if it moves all the way across, you get the diamond ring effect, and then you get the Bailey's beads, which is the diamond ring moving through the valleys on the moon, and you get this sort of light shining through. I think that might be what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. The sunset itself, the red color, that I'm not totally sure about scientifically, but I'm assuming she's talking about the diamond ring and then Bailey's beads.
Leslie, so it occurs to me that this eclipse, this totality, may be the most popularly recorded one in human history, right? Given and it's going across the United States. Everyone that we've been talking to is saying people are trying to take pictures with their cell phones. I mean, obviously, scientists have their specialized equipment trained on the sun and the moon, but one wonders what kind of information or data we could get from all this popular pictures that are being taken.
I mean, it's true. There's not been an opportunity ever really to have this much information recorded at one time. You have these people all the way across the country recording the corona. So when the moon gets in front of the sun, you can see the plasma, the sun's atmosphere around the moon. And scientists are recording all kinds of information. Like, for example, the sun, the core of it is super, super hot. And you would think that the outer layer, the corona would also, or the surface would be really hot. And for some reason, it's not. It's actually cooler. And so they're trying to figure out why the surface of the sun is cooler, but the atmosphere is hotter. So you go hot, cold, hot, and they don't know why. And so that's the kind of information that they can get with all these pictures across the country, taking pictures of the corona as it moves across the country.
Well, there's all sorts of things that you can do, and there's data you can collect. There's thermometers that you can use to record that quick dip in the cold. You can contribute your pictures that you're taking to different researchers. There's one, I think, at eclipsemega.movie. There's an app that you can download. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Eclipse Mega Movie is a project from Google and UC Berkeley, and they have both professional photographers and citizen scientists lined up all across the country. And tonight, they hope to actually release thousands of these pictures that they will stitch together into a movie of the corona. And through that data, they'll be able to study what's happening in that sort of layer that I'm talking about that we'll be able to see, the sun's atmosphere, the layer beyond the sun that we can't normally see, but when the moon blocks it out, we can then see these solar storms, the burps, they call it, in the plasma, where light erupts. And those photographs are going to give us a view that we can't normally have ever for this long of a period of time.
Leslie McClurg from the science desk at KQED in San Francisco. And by the way, a very reputable science desk it is, doing terrific work
to say the least.
Leslie, thanks so much. And now
Thank you. I
want to bring in someone who has words that I feel sometimes I don't have. We mentioned that Helen MacDonald, one of our favorite authors, the naturalist who wrote H is for Hawk, wrote an article for the New York Times. She didn't think she liked crowds, Meghna. She wasn't sure she wanted to go see an eclipse. When she did, she dropped to her knees. She wrote, "When totality begins, you feel a wordless solidarity with the people around you. All language ripped away. You communicate through whoops and wolf howls."
As we've been hearing.
Yeah. Let's bring in another one of our favorite authors, Ron Rash. Several books of poetry, dozen novels, short story collections. He'll be watching the eclipse from Cullowhee, North Carolina. But, Ron, you were asked by Clemson University to write a poem for the eclipse?
It's actually maybe the first time I've been commissioned to write a poem, a celebratory poem by a university.
Well, we want to hear it. But first, you know, a celebratory poem, what's the feeling there?
Well, a lot of pressure on the writer. It's a different kind of writing.
Yeah.
But it is one of the few times in my life I've actually gotten paid for a poem. I usually get two copies of the magazine, so this is a little different.
Well, we've had you on our program happily for your novels, The Cove, Above the Waterfall. It's really clear that you draw from the natural world, and especially in your region there in the South, in your writing. So let's hear what you've written. It's a paragraph. Again, this is before you've seen one. And tell us, you know, what were you trying to get across first, and then we'll hear it.
Well, I wanted to write a poem that I hope would be a poem, obviously, of celebration, but also just the acknowledgement of wonder. And I think it's one aspect of life right now that disturbs me is we rarely use wonder as a noun. And I think we need to do. And part of that is, in a sense, connecting to the natural world. And more and more, as I continue my writing career, I want to write about wonder. So this was an opportunity, and I hope that it will connect to other people as they watch the eclipse.
Let's listen, please. Eclipse.
This afternoon in Clemson, South Carolina, we raise our eyes as our ancestors did, but know that what we see is not a sign of some calamity, a God's displeasure. Yet, as the sun and moon and earth align, something those before us felt survives. Eclipses all our knowledge, and we share the wonder as day and night become one.
Day and night become one. Others, I mean, Helen MacDonald writes about when she saw one, she could not see her hand in front of her face, but she could see the stars.
Yeah.
I mean, are you a little, you know, it's beautiful. Are you also, you say we're not going to see it as a sign of calamity, but you can, we hear, feel dread.
Oh, yeah. And I think it will be a really interesting moment for us as humans to suddenly feel something that humans have felt for as long as we've been humans. Some of that wonder, perhaps even terror, will yet survive on some subconscious level.
Yeah. Well, we hear that, you know, researchers who studied it over the years, they had to keep their hands from shaking, you know, as they took their notes. It's so awe-inspiring. So we're going to speak to you after the eclipse. And perhaps if you can keep your hand from shaking, you'll jot down a couple other lines and we'll hear your thoughts then. Ron, we'll check back in with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a poet and author, Ron Rash.
Well, let's go back to Leslie McClurg from the science desk at KQED in San Francisco. And Leslie, I have to say, one of the things I love most about these grand celestial events is, to me, I mean, I have a couple of science degrees in my background. Mm. It blurs the line between the spirit and science. And we've been kind of hearing that over the course of this hour. I mean, how do you feel about that?
You know, I just did actually just did a story looking at that exact question, talking to scientists. And I can't tell you how often words like divine, majestic, the eye of God. I had one solar scientist tell me, like, literally, he's an atheist, a mathematical guy. His whole life, his first solar eclipse, he turned, he said, in seconds, from an atheist to a Christian.
Really?
And has been a Christian for the last 17 years since. And he's seen 12 eclipses since. And he said that was the moment where he just really felt like there was I think how he put it was, everything about reality just suddenly clicked, and there was no blurred line between spirituality and science.
Oh, isn't that interesting? And we've been reading accounts of people who've seen their first eclipse and become scientists.
I think either way, you would be inspired.
There's a form of divinity in numbers
as
well.
Leslie McClurg, hold on there at KQED in San Francisco. Frank Morris with KCUR in Kansas City is at the Rosecrans Memorial Airport in St. Joseph, Missouri, one of the prime sites for viewing the eclipse in the whole country. Frank, where are we?
Well, we are at one of the prime spots for viewing the eclipse, but we can't see any sun at all.
No! You're the first one. I'm so sorry.
It's raining here. I'm standing near the entrance or the exit, and people are just lining up. People are leaving faster even than they came in this morning, I think. You can't see a darn thing. There was, you know, when the eclipse started, there were a few moments when the sun would peek out, partially occluded sun would peek out, and there'd be a kind of hooting and cheering, and then it turned into just people walking around with their shirts stuck to their backs, looking up once in a while, and now not everyone, lots of people are leaving.
Well, but let me ask you, if you're going to have totality, it's really going to get dark. You're still going to see the darkness.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already about half dark here, but it's hard to tell whether it's just the extremely thick cloud cover or something happening with the moon. The clouds are definitely eclipsing the sun or occluding it. That's
where
we are here.
Well,
it's still a cool gathering, though. You know what I mean? The gathering itself is almost, just a little bit magical with all these, you know, nerdy science people, and then they just kind of a bunch of families, it's really been a kind of a great group of people, and they're here from all over the country, all over the world. In fact, people from Australia and Europe and so forth. But they're not getting much of a show here.
Well, but wait a second, because you're still having the eclipse,
right?
Totality, right. So it still should get very cold. Right, because you won't have the sun behind those clouds, and it still should get really dark. Tell them to stay.
Oh yeah, no. We're in it to win. In fact, I'm here with Lisa Neff, who's up from Kansas City. She's holding an umbrella for me right now. Would you like to speak to Lisa?
Sure.
Here she is.
Bye.
Lisa, you're still in our mind, although we're here in a little glass booth, you know, in the Northeast. You are still having more fun than many people.
Oh, I doubt that.
Well, okay, so it's raining.
It is raining.
What were you hoping for?
Well, I was hoping for a total eclipse of the sun that I would actually see and be able to photograph and share with my husband.
Yeah.
We brought a little lighted candle with a heart on it. We were going to do a parody total eclipse of the heart picture for our Facebook page, but
you should still do it. You should still
We can still do it. It'll just be the clouds.
How far are you from totality? Do you know how many minutes?
We're about 10 minutes. Sorry for spilling.
Yeah, I'm looking at my
10 minutes from totality.
My map across the country. Well, we understand there are Australians chanting Aussie, 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 oi, 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 as they're known to do.
As if that will make the clouds part. This moment in time.
I don't think anything's making these clouds part. Well, a sudden tornado.
Well, you're in good company. There's about 100,000 of you, apparently, that came for this 25,000
really?
At the airport. Yeah. I know Frank Morris there parked. He slept in his camper on his pickup overnight at the airport. And you are in good company, and I hope that you feel that.
Yes.
Thank you so much. You know, we're going to go back.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. And I'm wondering if we should go back to Leslie for just a second.
Yeah, just for a second.
Yeah, just to ask about Leslie. We got about a minute here.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah.
They should definitely hang out.
That's what I'm saying.
Because what can happen is a microclimate. So, like, the radiation changes, wind changes, air temperatures can change. And so, literally, there can be a parting of the clouds. And people talk about this. Like, I had a scientist tell me this happened to him in England where he, and this was the same scientist I was just talking about that became Christian. He was standing there under super cloudy skies, all distressed, and suddenly the skies parted, and he said it was just like Moses, parting the Red Sea for the Israelites.
Give up. Leslie McClurg, KQED, the science desk there in San Francisco. Thank you so much, Leslie.
Thank you.
You are listening to NPR special coverage of the Great American Eclipse making its way across 14 states.
Except Missouri.
But don't give up. There's much more online at NPR's live blog. You can follow the path of the eclipse there. NPR.org. Photos, videos, history, science related to the eclipse. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Robin Young. We are so excited. Special coverage from NPR.